Third chapter of Philippians, beginning verse 71 and verse 15, where Paul begins to interrupt him to strike on the last verse, I think, and on down to bury not his own righteousness, but that which is truth, and on down where he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, out from the dead. Not to go ahead already, but be perfect, but I follow after, and apprehend, and on down till I press forward toward thee, much more calling God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 10, that I know him. Now tonight I want to talk about this. That I know in the first place, I believe that God created the heaven and the earth and all things that are therein. Every good Jewish, can you name? I believe that God made the heaven and the earth and all things that are therein. And I believe that He made it. And He made each one with a kind of life peculiar to it. Because He chose for it. And then He adjusted that kind of life to an environment which He chose for it. And the living creature stays in its own environment and lives the kind of life God gave it, that creature fulfills the purpose for which it was made. And God being who He is, there can be said of any creature higher than this. He fulfills that for which God made him. Now that's all. You can't go higher than that. He's in the park. You stand right there on the walls of famous buildings. New changes of all sorts, Nobel Prizes and Pulitzer Prizes and every kind of prize. Well, you can canonize them if you wish. It's all been told and all been said. You cannot say any more of the creature than this. God made him certain kind of life, gave him an environment to inhabit. And he has lived in that environment and it's confidence has lived the kind of life God gave him. Now that's all. The angels and archangels and seraphim and cherubim and prophets can't go any further than that. Now, it says here that that's not their first estate, but let their own habitation. God hath reserved an everlasting change under the judgment of the great day. And here we see a certain order of being, or a certain number in order, that left their first estate. That is, they left the place for which they had been created. Anyone, anybody, any intelligent creature, any moral creature anywhere, that leaves its proper sphere and estate, will know only English, distance, and pain. Because they're not fulfilling the end for which they were. Now that I say generally of any living being anywhere. And incidentally, brothers and sisters, you and I are willingly poverty stricken because we're scared sick. We're afraid to use this imagination, and we're afraid to believe what the Bible teaches us. The Bible talks about angels and that one, and the seraphs and the cherubim, and watchers and holy ones, principalities and powers, and you and I insist on people, that's all. We are afraid to ride our faith-filled imagination and encompass the wonder of the filled universe. Now, God created man in his own image, and of no other creature is this spoken. And in the scriptures, where God said He ever created the seraph in His image, nor a cherubim, that all of His faces and His wings, angel or archangel, or principality or power, but it says that God made man in His image. God said affectionately, let us our own image, so in the image of God created we him. And blowing through in the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that, know this, you can take this out, misapply it, misquote it, and make a radical out of it. But I'm sure you won't. But as originally created, man was more like the other creature that ever was created. as originally created. Man was more like God because of what God says that he made them in his own image. And a wise old German Christian said this, nothing in the universe so much like God as the human soul. Now, of course, he took for granted and meant that man's soul was sinful and lost. And in that sense, sin is not like God, and the soul that sin is itself God. But there is something basic in human nature and in the soul of man that can become more like God than anything. I wish we could believe that. I wish that we could accept that as a part of our creed and not be afraid that if we state it and say we believe it, we'll charge us with believing man's all right. Man's not all right. Man's a fallen creature. Like an automobile that left the highway, had a curve and went over a gully down in among the rocks. And man is not lost. Man is not damned. I heard a preacher this afternoon talking about my poor lost damned soul. No, you're damned, brother. You're lost if you're not converted. You're lost if you're not damned. That's another thing altogether. Good man to know him. And he created man to know him in a sense and to a degree which no other creature can. The creatures that are in the presence of God may not know God as well as the man soul which God has made in his image. Don't you see that there has to be a degree of life there which enables a man to know God? Don't you sit there under your table or the dog there lying on the rug. You put a record on. You put on something by Mozart or Beethoven. Never even open a sleepy eye because there's nothing in that cat nature that can understand Beethoven or Mozart. Put on at home some of the fine records of London, the great choir there singing Christmas carols. Well, Saul will get up and go over and sit down and gaze in spite of that little ad who knows his master's voice. No dog ever looks into it. He did with curiosity. He can't appreciate it because he hasn't got the kind of life that can appreciate it. But a two-year-old baby. We thought at first that our grandchildren were unusual. When you'd play music, they'd play their little bodies. When we find out all babies do that. But everybody's put into them. They've got it in them to do it. God put them into the rhythm of the universe. And I'm not afraid of rhythm, Elvis Presley, but I'm not afraid of rhythm. Because the beat of God, the up, down, north, west, it's God the musician in his universe. And so the little babies are born into the stitches, born into the water, into the stream. And when they're old enough to hear music, they're old enough to smile and say so. And for life, if God gave them that kind of nature. Now, my brother, God made us to know him in a way we can know him. He made us to know him to a degree that no other creature can know him because no other creature has quite the capability. Certainly the angels have capabilities. They're holy angels and they obey God. And certainly the seraphim on the throne in the fire of God, and they know God. But they don't know God as man will know God when redemption has been completed. It means that man should be higher than the angels. God made him a little while lower than the angels, that he might raise him higher than the angels. And when it's all over and known, we shall rank higher in the hierarchy of God than the very angels themselves. Brethren, man, by his sin, lost his knowledge. He lost it. I read about it over here in Romans. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, whose heart was darkened. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. As one version says, to do disgraceful acts. So that men lost his knowledge of God. So that now man, though he has the potentiality to know God in a way no creature in heaven, he still doesn't know God because his conduct is unworthy of his high origin and his heart is filled with a huge. You know what I mean. And so that's what's the matter with it. That's why we have these crises all the time. President McCarthy's eyes killed. You know, that community newscasters are worried immediately lest the next man who's elected president will be and may turn out to be anti-missionary. Well, what's the matter with it? The prince in philosophy, in psychiatry, in psychology, and sociology, and all of this to make the world a better place, and we could all, men could all be the brothers, each other's brothers. Hating each other more than ever since the beginning. And there's more hatred and more suspicion and more treachery and more espionage and more treachery and more telling out than at the beginning of the world. What's the matter? It's because man is filled with a vast emptiness. He was created to know God and he chose the gutter and would like not to have God in his knowledge. And so man is like a bird set in a cage, or like a fish in water. And so man instinctively craves for the image and misses it, misses the eternal being, misses the light, misses the friend. And that's what's the matter with us, we don't know it. Some kids get into an old banged up car with pipes and hammers and go out on the prowl looking for anybody, not anybody in particular, but because down in the deep soul of them is the knowledge that sometime they've got to God. The world isn't enough, and there is a longing they don't understand. And so it turns in on them and turns astray and becomes perverted. And like the alcoholic, they choose the gutter and love the gutter. And what about the non-knowing God for sinners? Well, the teachers of God can be known. Teachers of God to whom he is, as he abandoned the angels of sin. Why did he abandon the angels of sin? Because they were never made in the image of God. They were made more physically capable of moral and spiritual perception. But they were not made in the image of God. Why did not God? Because man was made in the image of God. And so God gave man a chance and sent a redeemer. How does the Bible teach that? It teaches that in Christ and through Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the brightness of his glory and excess. Our old father said this about him. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of him, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made. He is of one substance with the Father, sinfulness. And this is what the Bible teaches. It teaches that everything that Godhead is, don't listen to the liberals who say God revealed himself through Christ. Don't listen to the liberals who say that Christ reflected more of God than other people did. Don't listen to the liberals who say that if one piece of metal is more active than another, so certain individuals are tuned to God in a way that other individuals aren't. And religious geniuses, and that Jesus Christ was the supreme religious genius, catching and reflecting more of them. Don't listen to that, because all that amounts to is to insult Jesus. Jesus Christ was not a reflector of deity only, though he was that. He was not a revealer of deity of that. He was and is and always has been and never can cease to be God, light of light, God of God, very God begotten, not created. And so that all that the Godhead is, Christ is. Jesus Christ is to be back at the ancient fountain again. Back at the ancient fountain again. In over advancing years, because I felt this way when I was converted at 17, I certainly didn't have it developed this far, but I should not be. But I tell you, my brethren, that we've pushed our way on into artificiality so far that it's a wonder by one wonderful swift act of our souls in faith and prayer to go back to the ancient fountain and start over again. And there, no God for ourselves, all over again, back where Adam started. back beyond where the world began, back beyond where the angels began, the ancient, glorious, kingly fountain we call the being of God, the Triune God. And in Jesus Christ we leave all the environs, and we go back to the ancient source of our being. So on this blissful center rest, O John Newton wrote, now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest, back at the ancient source of our being, we find the beginnings and start all over. That I may know him, said Paul, that I may know him. Now my question tonight is why Christians know Christ so little. Now I'd like to say to you this, that not all of the Godhead can be known. This discourages any of you, a good thing for us. Because a real good shaking down is good for Christians sometimes. They're getting the truth where they belong. And if any of you have the idea that you know pretty well all that can be known about God, it's a bird. And I warn you, just about 2 more foot-pound pressure in his bow. And when you blow, it'll take God a long time to get in. Well, brother, not all of the Godhead can ever be known. Because that being that was capable of knowing all of the Godhead would have to be equal. Just as you can't pour a quart of water into a vessel holding less than a quart, so you can't pour all of the Godhead into an experience of anyone being less than God. I quoted before what some of the ancient fathers said in arguing for the Trinity. They said, look at it like this. God the Eternal Father, infinite God, and his name is love, and he is love. And so the very nature of love is to give. And he could not give his love fully to anybody that was not fully equal to him. And so there we have the ancient Son, who is equal with the Father. The Father poured out his love into the Son, who could contain it, and contain all of it, because the Son loved it. And then said these wise, reasoning old brethren, they said, for the ancient Father to pour his love out on the Son with the communication had to be very close to the Father and the Son, and that was the Holy Ghost. And so there you have the ancient Father in the fullness of his love, pouring himself to the Holy Ghost, who is in being equal to him and to the being equal to the Spirit and the Father. So not all of the Godhead can be known by the limitless, infinite sphere of being we call God, filling and surrounding and enfolding and upholding. All that can be known of God is revealed in Christ. And when Paul said that I may know him, no, he is not intellectual at all. We don't know God as you know the multiplication table, or know the Morse code, the screen is oil and the Morse code. And I could send him a few messages or working on it for a while, anyhow. Go over the old telegraph instrument. And know almost anything, practically nothing you can't learn. But it's intellectual. And Paul said that he did not mean into intellectual. He meant by experience, personally and consciously. He meant that I may know personally myself, spirit touching spirit, and heart touching heart, and conscious knowledge of God. And all the old Henry Seacole. When I get to heaven, I'm going to hunt some of these old fellows up. I'll be satisfied with for 1,000 years, but after that, if I get up enough courage, I'll go hunt up some of these dear old brethren. One of them will be. And Henry Seacole said this. There is a vast difference between hearing a lute, hearing that one has been played. Now, one thing to hear that there's been a concert, it's another thing to have heard the concert. It's one thing to hear that there has been a planet suddenly discovered, but it's another thing to have gazed on that planet. describes almost all Christians, not all, certainly, but a great many, too high a percentage of Christians. They've heard there's a sweet English word, but they've never heard it themselves. They know God only by His faith. And I don't want to bring people friends, but it's my conviction, a growing conviction with me, that that's what the matter with us now. But you don't know, the gospel church, the believing church, that we tend to know God only by hearsay. I have never heard of Him except by hearsay, and others have heard Him and known Him, but only faintly. We've heard only faint echoes of God, never hearing the voice of God. Can all tell a man or a woman who's been into the presence, and there is a vibrancy in the testimony that you don't find anywhere else. I can know it by reading about it. There's most people who go there. But everybody that goes and travels abroad and comes back, if you've actually been there, you know it in a way you can't know if you've only read a book about it. The most of the book about God, that's all. They've heard the faint echo of the voice of God. They've seen a reflection of the light of God. They've seen a full God in Christ. And their personal knowledge of God is very slight. And I don't want to hurt, well, I will if I have to, but I would say that I'm afraid that a lot of us here, for all our reputation, for himself very much, church attendance and fellowship and singing, and we lean on each other all the time. We have social fellowship and religious activity and all the various religious props. We lean on each other. That's one thing, my brethren. That's one thing. Jesus had that. He had his brethren. He had his work to do. He had his healing and raising functioning eyes and unstopping ears, answering questions and blessing people. He had that. But he had a knowledge of God that was real and individual. So that when he went in to pray and waited on God all night, he didn't feel that he was alone. But God was there. In our modern Christian service, it's dangerous to do that and go here and go there. And the result is we know God only by hearing of the sweet lute, but we never hear it played for ourselves. And we want things instead. Because God wants to give Himself. God wants to impart Himself with His gift. Separated from God, every gift is dangerous. Any gift is dangerous. If I were to pray, having seen gifts in the epistles of Paul, the gifts of the Spirit, and I got them all, it'd be dangerous to me. It's in giving Himself with them. God wants to give you Himself. Didn't I say a while ago? And isn't it true in the Scriptures that when God creates, He creates an environment for that life? And when God made man in His image and redeemed him by the blood of the Lamb back to that, is not God the environment of the Christian? Did they see we call the ocean is the environment for whales, environment for birds, and the earth is the environment for the night crawler and the mole. But the heart of God is for the Christian. And God meant that we should live in that heart of God. And the great beast in heaven is that we often don't want God. And even in the church today, even in the church, it's the same. And if God be not giving you God, He's giving you a rose with a thorn. And if He gives you a garden without giving you Himself, He's giving you a garden. And if He gives you wine without giving you God, He's giving you that with which you may destroy yourself. And God wants to give you Himself. And you know, this modern seeking God for His benefit. What we can get, you write a book, anybody can write a book now and sell it, anybody. All you have to do is write a book in ways to get things from God, and you have immediate sales. 14 ways to have peace of mind, and away they go. How we can bring God to our service. And the printer can't keep up with the book.
We worship God for what we can get out of it. And that's the great blight that rests upon us. The great blight that rests upon us. The sovereign God wants to be loved for himself. And he wants to be appreciated for himself. And more than that, that's only part of it, and not even half is, that he wants us to know that when we have him, we have all the rest. Jesus said it, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why does God forgive sin? He forgives sin because sin is the shadow that stands between him, God, and us. And if God is able to know God, the shadow has to be removed, so God forgives sin. Why does God pour out his Spirit on us when we do work? It's in order that the Spirit, when he comes, will take the things of mine and show them unto you. Why does God answer prayer in order that he might unveil his own face to us? And why has God given us the Scriptures? If through the Scriptures we might know. The Scriptures, my brethren, are not an end in themselves. You hear them talked about as though they were an end in themselves. No man, in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures as originally given than I do. But verbal inspiration or any other theory of inspiration, the Bible, an end in itself, is a dangerous thing. Because the purpose of the Bible is not to lead you to the Bible. The purpose of the Bible is to lead you to God. And the Bible is a ladder through which we look and see our beloved God with the dew on his hair. As we read in the Song of Solomon. The Bible is the ladder, the Bible is the means of communication, the Bible is the entrance in, the Bible is never an end. But the modern vogue is, use God, use God. Oh, that God would raise up somebody that could say this. It could be true. It could make the Orthodox Church too, the Bible people, the evangelicals would raise up somebody that could make us see it. We've undergone for so indoctrination and brainwashing, in a kind of creed that makes servants instead of our being God's servants. And we like that somehow as we pray, and he does. I'd have starved to death the first 2 years of my ministry if I couldn't have paid money in and all that much. So I believe God sent him to his feet when we get all excited because God sends money. Somebody over in those praying for money to buy an outboard motor. They needed an outboard motor. Of course they were praying for it. Don't you think it? And somebody over here heard them, and so we're sending $350 to buy them a motor over there. And that. But that's what you might say. That's down on the level of the routine. There's something grander and higher and finer than that. And if God doesn't give himself over there along with the motor, he'll wreck that motor in himself. He wants to give gifts, but every gift he gives, he wants to give himself in gift. And that's the wonder of it, my brethren. You want, but nowadays, use God, use God. Use God to get your job. Use God to give you faith. Use God to give you peace of mind. In heaven, at last. Alright. God is searching for those who will say, God, I don't know. My heart craves thee. My heart is pain, nor can it be at rest till it finds rest in thee. And I'd rather have thee and nothing than to have everything rolling in my way. You can't be sure, doctor, businessman. You can't be sure at all. You're prospering this day because you're tired. Well, go ahead and all right with me. I think you should, but your prosperity may not come up. Maybe the economic level of the day in which you live may be cutting corners. Better have God in a dime than have all the riches in the world and have God with us.
God is searching for those who will put beneath the cloud of forgetting the brother said all that God hath made, for he is a jealous lover and he suffers no rivals. And you don't stand in there and take his place or even remotely take his place. He wants us to see God. Incidentally, Kate and Wesley, somebody asked him about speaking, and he said, well, let me tell you something. If anybody comes in here to speak and to seek any more of them, more love, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. The only teaching is that which says seek more of God. Seek to know the triune God. You can't all know all that God had written, nor revealed in Christ to your soul infinitely more than you now know. And if the church is to this, and would get sober-minded and serious and stop fooling, and would begin to seek for God himself, then all the gifts of God would come along with God. And all the blessings of God would come along with God. We want a faith, we want clean hearts, we want a principle within. We want love divine, all love excelling. We want all of that. Seek those things apart from God, we've only found a rose with a thorn. But if we find God, all these things, hearing God, better I say a thousand times, know God through Jesus Christ. If you say, I have accepted Christ and I'm converted, oh, very wonderful, good. That's good. But do you know the man Paul had been converted to, and he was one of the world's great Christians when he wrote that I may know him, and that I may know him of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. He was plowing on, and it appeared to be that the knowledge of Jesus Christ, yet what he called the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord. And friend, this is what you and I are here for. Somebody wants to know what to do for. I almost withdraw from the term anymore. I almost shrink from hearing it. Because everybody's talking about the deeper life they want God. God's the deeper life. Jesus Christ's the deeper life. And as I plunge further into the knowledge of the triune God, my heart moves out into God further. And there's less of me and more of God. And the life becomes deepened and strengthened in God. So that this is the next step, that I might know him. And anything that keeps me from knowing him is my enemy. Stands between him and me, that friend is an enemy. If it is a gift that stands between him and me, that gift is an enemy. If it is an ambition between him and me, that ambition is an enemy. If it is a defeat I had once, and I allow that defeat to get me down and stand between, forget that. Forgetting all the things that are past, I plow forward and press on. And if it's a victory that I had back there, victory stands between me and the knowledge of God. I've got to put that victory behind me. Oh, I suppose I might as well stay in bed. If anybody knows what I mean. I'm ready by the grace of God you do. I think some of you do. But dear friends, do you see what I mean? That all of this cheapening of the gospel by making God our servant. God running around with a basket giving away presents like John D. Rockefeller, and he scrambled for his dime. Shiny new dime. You know, I talked about it. I found a dime. Had the image of God on it. Wonderful, isn't it? But nothing compared with the deep knowledge of God himself. Knowing. You know this knowledge of God, nobody can argue out of it. Nobody can argue out of it. They can come and point a stiff angry finger at you and call you every name the law permits. And when they speak, you'll feel bad about it, but you still know you know God. And they can come and argue with you and give you scripture to prove you're all wrong, and when they're you can say, well, you're a pretty good expositor, but I happen to know God. You got things too late. You're coming to prove I can't, and I never came to prove it. So we can know God for ourselves, that I might know him. The good thing is, some of you know that. Some of you are trying through. I've gotten letters. I've gotten phone calls. I have had patients. And I know that some of you are finding the Lord in a new, rich, deep, and wonderful way. And I'm glad. But
How about it, Earl? Can't we speak it? Now let's pray. Now before we do pray, we're going to find out if there are ways for you to say, I want you to remember me. Your own longing heart is talking back to you. Within you is bigger than you are. You're not here maybe quite about it all intellectually, but you're God. You want to know what Paul knew? You want to know what God has revealed in the experience of the saints down the years? And you say, pray for me, Mr. Tozer, that I might have the spiritual courage, faith, to rise and put behind me and under my feet, whatever it is, friendship, or ambition, or plan, or gifts or victories or anything that prevents me from it. Would you raise your hand and we'll pray for you? Anybody here, if you say, I do want you, Mr. Tozer. Put the hand up, they're going to say, yes, I do. And who else? You want to know, and yes, Dr. Askew. And who else? You want to know, yes, yes, yes. God, for the hands that have gone up, now let's have a little time. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with you, and in the beginning was God. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, that when we come to thee, we go back to the beginning. Back of Paul, and back of Moses, back of Abraham, back of Adam. We go back to the beginning. Shine the light of every man. And in thee we see the Father. Through thee we know the Father. Through the requested prayer tonight. In the name of thy Son, Jesus, we pray, Father, that thou wilt take these people and these older ones and lead them in these passages, even through ways that may be rough and hard and even painful and chastening, but lead them until all is behind them, everything's behind them, and they put behind them everything. Everything. And what they're proud of and what they're ashamed of, and what the victories they've had and the defeats they've had, and the mistakes they've made. Oh, we pray to lead these things on and teach them how to look forward and not backward. And you know, Father, that when we talk about these things, some come because they feel that they believe that they can swallow or a text they can memorize, or some one little trick they can do. Oh, Lord God, it is not thus received, but rather by the cultivation of the knowledge of God, and by faith and humility and prayer and trust and confidence and obedience, and pressing onward till at last the mountaintop appears in view, and up out of the mist we come to the sunlight. Come, Holy Spirit, heaven. Come with all thy kitchen power. Come, we pray thee, and set about this table of love. Pray for all of these, and we pray, Lord, for some who didn't request prayer for anything, but who should have this night without even salvation. And we pray for all the churches that are coming, bringing their service to close within a half an hour or so. Bless them all, Lord, and grant thee, pray thee, that every neck may have tissues, and that every shepherd might, and every father see come from home. That there be victory in the church of Jesus Christ this night, throughout all this area. That he will give praise. We ask this thing through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.